This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, it'll turn with me to 1 Kings. We want to continue our study through 1 Kings, and we're coming to a transition in the kingdom of Israel. Solomon has died, and a prophet named Ahijah has come and spoken to Jeroboam and basically said that the Lord is going to give Jeroboam 10 tribes for him to rule over, and the two tribes will be left for the southern kingdom or Judah. The 10 northern tribes will be referred to as Israel, as they will be the majority of the tribes of Israel. And all that Jeroboam has to do is love the Lord, and the kingdom would be his. It's the same promise that God had given to Solomon. However, we're going to see that it doesn't take long for Jeroboam to not obey God. And today we're going to be looking at the two Bohms, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, who is going to be taking over the northern kingdom. So let's begin at 1 Kings chapter 12. And it's talking about Rehoboam here. And Rehoboam, we're in chapter 12. Okay. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard it, for he had fled from the presence of Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. Now, I just want you to pause here for a second and see that Jeroboam came with all the other tribes of Israel. He had come from Egypt. In our last study, when we saw that he had fled to Egypt before Solomon died, because he really had betrayed Solomon in the sense that he was seeking to take authority, and Solomon understood and looked at him and said, this is a man who is he had respected his industriousness and his desire to serve when he built Milo, the fortification on the walls of Jericho. But now, Solomon, at the end of Solomon's life, he viewed him as a threat. And so, until Solomon died, he fled to Egypt to seek the Egyptians' protection. When Solomon died, he came back. And he went and gathered all the tribes of Israel and brought them to Shechem, to speak to Rehoboam, not Solomon's son. And he lays it out before Solomon. Before Rehoboam, and he says, Solomon, your father, had laid heavy burdens on us. And the things that Solomon had done, he had taxed the people for all of the building projects he had going on. And also, he had put the people to various people to servitude, those that were not Israelites, that were of the Canaanite tribes. He really made them slaves, if you would, slave servants, and indentured servants, and he put them to building the places, and then he inscripted much of the rest of Israel into this massive army that he put together, and it was just like God had said would happen when Israel got a king, that he would put their sons to work in the military, put their daughters to work in serving the kingdom, and that's what Solomon did. So Jeroboam comes on behalf of all the tribes of Israel and says, okay, well, we will serve you, but this is what we need to get our loyalty to you, and that is reduce the heavy burden that your father Solomon placed on us and make it light, and we will serve you all the days of our life. Well, I want you to see what Rehoboam does. And he said unto them, Depart ye for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. Now, why did he want them to depart? Because he wants time to consult with advisors to see what he should do. We think that advisors are something new. No, they weren't. Kings of old had advisors that they sought counsel from. And Rehoboam is going to seek counsel from two different groups of advisors. Some of them are older men who had served under Solomon, and some of them are younger men, and we're going to see where they came from. They were friends who grew up with Rehoboam. So they're his age, and they're his friends. Let's see what happens here. And the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, How do you advise that I may answer this people? Now they'd heard what the conditions were that the people had said. And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. And I just want you to see something here. These men gave great wisdom. They gave wisdom which Jesus showed his disciples. Remember, we had the message a while ago on Sunday morning about when Jesus was in the upper room and they were celebrating the last Passover, and his disciples had been arguing all the way from Galilee when they walked down to Jerusalem. The discussion, the main topic of discussion, wasn't what was going to happen to Jesus, even though he told them more than once, I'm to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me, they're going to beat me, and they're going to crucify me. And they didn't hear that. Instead, they argued from just about the whole time they came from the Galilee down to Jerusalem about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And who would have the greatest authority, who would have the positions of honor, who would be given the most responsibility. And when they got to the upper room that day, you remember they did the same thing. As Jesus is beginning to lay out the Passover meal and going to celebrate the Passover, they're still arguing who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And you remember what Jesus did at that point in time? He went and he got a towel, put it around its waist. He went and got a basin of water, and he began to go around and starting to wash their feet. And they began to be horrified at what they were seeing, because Jesus was the rabbi, the teacher, the one that they were following, and now he who was their teacher was washing their feet, which was the most humble job that you gave to the lowliest of the servants. And he was doing it. And he said, well, no one of you has washed your feet, and I've come to wash your feet. And what he was really teaching them, he knew their hearts, that they're all arguing over who's going to be greatest. And what he taught them and said at that time, who is going to be the greatest will be the servant. And this is exactly what these men saw, that Solomon's main problem was. Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, but he didn't follow his own wise counsel. And he did not come as a servant to his people, but rather came to be served. And remember, he built this marvelous throne chair out of ivory and gold. He built this palace that was, the only thing that more beautiful building on the Temple Mount was the temple itself. And then he had his wonderful palace. And he had all these gold shields and gold spears and all this gold everywhere and horses and everything that God told him not to do, Solomon did. And then he placed his people, had to be there to be his servants to get it done. And so they saw this and they understood what God's position was on leadership. To be a leader, you need to be a servant. And so they're telling Rehoboam, you want to be the king. You're the king. If you want the people to follow you, you need to lead them properly. And the way you lead them is to serve them. You need to be their servant, and then they'll follow you. That's how you lead. And we're going to see later on, those of you who are coming Sunday mornings, when we get to the end of Ephesians, you're going to see when God begins to deal with relationships of Christians. It's the same for us today. You want to be a leader, you need to be a servant. You need to be willing to do for others, and then they will follow you. And you need to with your actions, show what's in your heart. Well, Rehoboam's actions were going to really show what was in his heart. Well, what he does is he's not really sold on the counsel that these older men give him, even though it's wise counsel, proper counsel, godly counsel. So what does he do? And they spake unto him, saying, verse 8, and he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. So I want you to understand, who had Rehoboam already placed in positions of authority in his kingdom just about as soon as he took over from his father? Did he seek wise, godly, older men? No, he sought his buddies. He sought those that he'd grown up with, those that were young. And you probably remember the parable that Jesus gave of the prodigal son. And one of the things that happened with the prodigal son, he wanted his inheritance. His father gave him his inheritance. He left. And you know something? The prodigal son immediately was surrounded with all these great advisors, with all these great friends. And all they wanted was his money and his power that he could get by having that money. And so they would party, they'd spend his money, they'd take advantage of him, and when the money was gone, his friends were gone. These are the type of young men that Rehoboam has surrounded himself with. His friends that he grew up with, that see, well, he's king, he's got power. And as he's got power, we can take advantage of the power, so let's give him advice on what he should do. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer the people who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke which thy father put upon us lighter? So how should I answer that? This is how his friends answered it, that he had placed in powers of authority the young men. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Wow. What he's saying is, my father put a heavy burden on you. And I'm going to compare that to my father's loin. Is this one of the bigger muscles on your body? And he said, my little finger is bigger than my father's loin. In other words, my little finger is going to be heavier than my father's heaviest burden. I'm going to increase it tremendously. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father, which chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Now, I don't think that Solomon really chastised the Israelites with whips. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but he's using this as an example. He's saying, if my father used whips, I'm going to use scorpions. What's the difference between a whip and a scorpion? A whip, when you're hit with a whip, it may tear the flesh, it may do damage to your body, but it will heal easily, it'll heal readily. A scorpion's bite, you're infected with poison, and the pain continues on, and it doesn't stop when the whip blow stops. The scorpion's pain continues. And so he's saying, I'm going to make it even worse. I'm going to make it worse for you. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And his answer was really not one of compassion at all. Roughly gives you the impression that what he did is he came and really with words that kind of were mocking, words that were, I know who I am, I know who you are, and I'm going to take my position as king and show you by putting my thumb down on you. And I'm going to be the ruler. I'll show you who's ruler. And he spake to them after the council of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will make your yoke. I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake to Ahijah, the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, to our tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. All the nation of Israel, and what they are looking is that Rehoboam is a descendant of Solomon, and Solomon was the son of David. And so they're viewing that this is of the throne of David. It is not of the throne of David. It's really coming from Solomon and the judgment that God placed upon Solomon, not David. And the only reason it didn't come during the time of Solomon is because God was honoring David, and so he didn't bring it upon his son. Remember the judgment. But he said the judgment was to Solomon, and he told him he's going to tear the kingdom, and most of the kingdom from Solomon's house, and place it in his servant's house, in another man's place. And that would be Jeroboam. And so we see that this is exactly what has happened. And the people respond to this lack of compassion, this lack of grace, and this lack of mercy that Rehoboam is showing. Now I want you to understand, the king of Israel was to be expressed to the people the character of God when he led. This is what made David a man after God's own heart. David led the people of Israel with compassion, with mercy, and he desired to hear and meet their needs. He viewed himself as the one who was to take care of the people, to look out for the people, and that is why David would come against the enemies of Israel, and instead of making treaties with them, he would come against them to defeat them, lest they would overtake Israel. We see that Solomon did just the opposite. Solomon became one who compromised through his wives by worshiping false gods and not setting the tone and example for the people to trust in God no matter what the circumstance. David trusted in God in the circumstances he was placed in. Solomon tried to manipulate circumstances to his benefit, and it was driven oftentimes by his own desires. And so we see here that Rehoboam, sins tend to get worse as children learn and see what their parents have done, and unless that child repents and comes before the Lord, oftentimes they will become more involved in the sin of their parents. And that's exactly what Rehoboam did with Solomon's. Solomon didn't lead right. Rehoboam, instead of learning and going back to his grandfather David and learning from him, abandons the whole thing. Well, the people view it as the house of David, because David was the king that was anointed by Samuel to take over the nation of Israel. And so they say, we have nothing to do with the house of David, and we have nothing to do with this son of Jesse. Now, Also, if you go back, this goes back even to when Saul was appointed by Samuel at the behest of the people of Israel, because they wanted a king like the other nations, and they picked Saul because he stood head and shoulders above all the rest of the Israelites. They picked him for the wrong reasons. They picked him, number one, because they wanted a king like everybody else, and number two, because he appeared to have the ability to rule, even though he didn't have a heart for God. But it goes back to that point, because Israel had, most of the tribes had gone with Saul initially, and then gone back and followed David at the death of Saul. Now they're saying, why, we're going to have nothing to do with this house of David and this son of Jesse. And it's not because anything David did, it's all because of what Solomon and Rehoboam did, and not doing what God had told the king to do, and that was to be a servant to the people. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. And so we see that there's 10 tribes in the north that left. Judah remained true to Rehoboam, and we'll be studying more about that on Wednesday night. And then there would be one other tribe, and that would be Benjamin. So it would be Judah and Benjamin that would be under Rehoboam's control. And then we'll also see on Wednesday that the Levites, they also left and were left their cities and were treated differently. Well, first by Judah, and then later on Rehoboam replaced them, and we'll be studying that as well. But as you can see here, God established what a leader is to be. A leader is to have a servant's heart, and he's to lead by example. He's to reflect God's character. He's to show mercy and grace. He's to judge that which is unrighteous and ungodly, but he's also to stand for truth and uphold righteousness. Rehoboam did all the opposite. He didn't judge by grace and mercy, and he didn't seek truth and what was right and justice. Instead, he sought to place his thumb harder on the people and really rule like the world, like his fellow aged counselors said, make it harder on them, and they'll have to serve you. Well, they didn't have to serve him because they left. And may we learn that God demands that all of us, when we're given positions of leadership, whether it's in our families, whether it's in the church, whether it's wherever we're at, in the workplace or in the home, that we learn to lead by being a servant, having a servant's heart, and desiring to help and to lead by example those that God has placed under our authority. Let's just close in prayer, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to understand the great error that Rehoboam made and how that he listened to the wrong counsel. He should have listened to the older, godly counsel, but instead he listened to the younger, worldly. And Lord, oftentimes we do the same thing. Help us to listen to godly counsel and to place our lives under your authority, who have led us by the example of laying down your life to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, help us now and give us opportunities to share with others the hope we have in Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to 491. 491.